Why don't we let Mark talk for a few minutes? Let him have some time here. He's got his presentation set up. If you guys can share that microphone, that would be great.
I will stay around.
Okay. Good morning. Take a deep breath. I know we've been going for a long time here. My name is Mark Poliger. I know I've met a number of you before, and I wanted to go through an update on Costco from the perspective of the Country Lane Neighborhood Association, which is ground zero, literally across the street from the proposed site. I'm tethered to my laptop, otherwise I'd be at the lectern. So we're gonna do a normal update. Was asked to do an update on the presentation that we did about a month ago, but there are some disturbing events, at least disturbing to us who have been working on this since November 2021, when this project first came across our radar. But first, a brief recap for anyone who has not been enmeshed in this as long as we have. This is an oversized project on an undersized site. It's basically building a bigger Costco from Sunnyvale. Look at that. Sorry about that. Thank you. So this is building a site that's bigger than the Sunnyvale Costco, which you can use as a benchmark, by 20,000 square feet. It's on a site that's half again as small. And it has fewer parking spaces, all of which is a recipe for, well, you can guess, and I think we've covered it at length today, okay? It's a warehouse in a residential area. This is the sole rendering that Costco has finally, after repeated requests, provided on what this project is potentially going to look like from the front yard of the neighbors on Graves Avenue. It's 55 feet from those yards. And it has a quite tall wall, plus lighting standards on top of the rooftop parking, which, as mentioned before, is a first for Costco. So, I got to keep touching the laptop. I don't have a clicker. Really? All right. All right. Is that better? Oh, okay, I don't know if it would work with this, but if you do, I'm happy to use it.
We can try that, it might free you up
okay. a little bit. So I can wander around. So in a nutshell, this is what the neighborhood wants and needs, is for the D1 leadership and for the city people who are basically decision makers to require the project applicant Costco and for the city planners to close off Graves. As far back as 2012, it was memorialized that if there was going to be any significant development there, that Graves would be closed off. And if anything, I cannot see how this doesn't count as significant development. We'd like to see Costco fund necessary road improvements and safety improvements for all the surrounding roads, which includes county roads like Lawrence Expressway, Prospect, Saratoga, et cetera, to take care of the burden that we know is going to happen from
Sorry.
Please talk amongst yourselves.
We wanted to hit a key.
Oh. Okay. Ta-da. I did.
Sorry, folks. Next to the shift key.
Oh, okay. Next to the shift key? Okay.
I don't know if that was the right one.
Your keyboard cannot be identified. Yeah, I think we can't do this, unfortunately. Sorry. I'll just set. Okay. So basically have Costco fund the necessary road and safety improvements on all the surrounding roads, because clearly there's not carrying capacity for what we know is going to come with something like Costco, which is between 10 and 12,000 daily trips in and out of the site. Even right now, with a third of that property vacant, you get backups into the fast lane on Lawrence Expressway, you get backups onto Prospect Avenue, et cetera. The roads just can't carry it. And so similar to what we know that Apple did when they put in their giant spaceship building, where they even redid things as heavyweight as interchanges on highways like 280, right? This is what we're asking. We feel like if they're going to be putting the burden of this into the neighborhood, then they should help shoulder that burden as well. And then finally, something that we've been asking for since November of 2021 is wall off that site from the neighborhood. This is exactly what was done for the Almaden Costco, and it seems to be working just fine. That business is going gangbusters, and it doesn't seem to impact the operations. And this is something that we feel is a reasonable mitigation that can happen.
So, Mark, a quick question. So have these requests been presented directly to Costco?
So Costco has a number of liaisons. Eric Schoenauer, Lynette Diaz, I believe, Davis, who stand between Costco and us. So they've had representatives in the two 15 months community meetings that have happened, didn't say a thing, didn't respond. And I know that a number of people in the neighborhood have reached out directly to Costco Corporate Real Estate Development, have not gotten any responses. So the answer is that they seem to be using their go-betweens as their sole means of communication.
Okay, but the go-betweens are aware of these?
They've been aware of this since November of 2021.
Okay.
So this is nothing new, and the message has not changed.
Okay.
So we really want to have a wall between the site and the neighborhood. So back to our story for today. So we thought that we were in general alignment with the city and the planning department regarding Costco and Graves Avenue access. There have been three revisions to the plan of record so far, and in the first and second, there were comments from the planning department basically saying we concur with the neighborhood and we are trying to minimize the traffic and we believe that that's what we should be doing. We should be closing off the access. I'll send these slides around to folks if they want all of the details, and it also has the previous presentations and so forth. So there were requirements in the plan basically saying to remove the proposed driveways that would provide access directly into the Costco site. And that was in May of last year. And then in an email to the department, we're trying to limit the amount of traffic along Graves by limiting driveways. So everything seemed in concordance with what the neighborhood wanted. And we were happy, and we thought that that was going to be the plan of record. We were repeatedly advised to reach out to city council members, Vice Mayor Kamei, Chappie Jones before, to basically say, this is what we want, please keep it up, good job. And then suddenly we weren't. So on February 7th, project managers in the city communicated to Costco that the city no longer believed that closing off Graves because it did not conflict with any city policies. So, by the role of the city saying we have to enforce and abide by the policies and allow what is allowable, that's what they did. Now, unfortunately, this was despite repeated, sincere, well-reasoned, we think we're reasonable people, appeals to planners and city council members going back as far as when this project first came on our radar. And we believe that it would be mutually beneficial. It would serve the needs of Country Lane and D1 residents in keeping the neighborhood safe and traffic from not going by elementary schools and through arterials and so forth. And it wouldn't materially impact Costco's operations. There's other ways for them to get trucks in and out of their loading docks. So somehow we got to this point where there was a change. Information did not flow freely. So we actually met with, our neighborhood association met with Vice Mayor Kamei on February 8th, and we were not informed that this was happening. I understand that the information didn't get around, very far outside of the applicant Costco. And so we went in there thinking that we were in alignment, but we weren't. So this, despite my effort to work with the city planning managers to basically say, when there's updated information, please keep us informed. And, the one thing I will say, just because I don't want this to be a total gripe session, is that I love the access that we have today. So Director Burton, Vice Mayor Kamei, me being able to email the planning department and so forth. I don't make light of that. I appreciate it so that we don't have to go down the route of a, public information act request or anything like that. This is free-flowing information, and it sort of works well, although it's quite clear that the information is outdated by the time it gets outside of the applicant and so forth. So, you know, I'll jump ahead, but basically say one of the requests is, how do we keep involved and informed? Right? I think that's something that you know, we can always improve on. Plus, this information doesn't appear on the city's website as well. So the city planning website tends to be limited to just the large plans of record, you know, and so forth, but it doesn't have things from public safety, it doesn't have anything from water utilities, et cetera. It just has sort of the big picture. And I think, you know, the devil's in the details for us. And it was very important that we knew about these sort of interim back and forths, otherwise we would have been taken even more by surprise when this thing rolled out. So, look, I understand that the role of city government in the end is to, you know, facilitate reasonable progress, and to do so by the rules that have been laid out for a long time: zoning, planning, safety, et cetera, all the things that are part of the CEQA process and the EIR process and so forth. But people are involved here. People are affected by this profoundly. And so if there is a material effect on neighbors, neighborhoods, schools, businesses, et cetera, they need to be part of this process. I realize that this D1 leadership group is, you know, exactly part of that process, but we feel summarily ignored and shut out, right? You look at the El Paseo project, and it, you know, there were very, very well-reasoned, you know, assuming good intent and good faith on both parts, efforts to understand and get the pulse of the neighborhood and the people who are going to be affected. When it finally came to the planning meeting where, you know, the first decisions were going to be made, you know, one of the things I first noticed is that in the public notice, it was said everyone will have 2 minutes to speak. And then 30 seconds before the public comment session opened up, chair basically said, nope, you only have a minute, sorry, because we have a lot of commenters. And I understand that that is allowed, so long as everyone has the same amount to speak, but it didn't seem in the good faith of a project that was clearly so passionate to people. So people need to be involved. Doesn't mean we're always going to get our way, but it means that we need to be heard, and there needs to be a back and forth. So we've been repeatedly told, wait until the DEIR is released. Well, I've done a deep dive into the CEQA and EIR process. It's not my day job, but I think that we have a fair understanding of it. And it seems that once you get to the draft EIR process, things are pretty clearly the way that they are going to be done, unless there's something profoundly wrong. So saying that is a bit disingenuous to people who are asking for this to be a back and forth negotiation. So we're asking for that, you know, to be memorialized, the things that we want to see happen, like closing off graves, earlier in the process. And right now, the last I heard, the draft EIR is scheduled to go out at the beginning of April. That's only 4 weeks from now. So, you know, the comments that we're sort of not very far down the path towards finality for this, I don't know what to make of that. I know that the DEIR is also an iterative process. There's a 45-day comment period, then comments are incorporated, et cetera. But it feels like once that goes out, that's pretty much setting a North Star for where the project's going to go. The other thing is that there were some comments in the latest revision saying that maybe we want to limit truck traffic overnight, which was one of the big issues that we had, is that Costco says that they have truck traffic that goes from, you know, 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning, 10 trucks a night. And this is not, it seems what was in the plan was more an advisory, and it wasn't something that was putting teeth, right? So if you basically say this is what we want, that's all well and good, but who's going to enforce it? So one of the Ramesh neighbors, there's multiple, basically had been dealing with this in the past with trucks who were using graves when they shouldn't have been, and got threatened by truck drivers, got threatened by the businesses, and stopped doing it because he feared for his safety. So if there's going to be any policy changes saying that this road can only be used between this hour and this hour, it's all well and good to say the businesses, you know, need to self-support it, but there needs to be teeth behind it as well. What's going to happen? I mean, if everyone says we can abide by it, that's great, but they need to know what's going to happen should there be any kind of regression. So please don't turn neighbors into patrols. So in terms of things like traffic and truck traffic and so forth. The onus needs to be on the business and needs to be aligned for them to want to do this, not to have to do it. So last, what are we really looking for? We would like D1 and D1 leadership, Vice Mayor, to be an advocate and support for all of D1, and particularly the Country Lane neighborhood is most profoundly affected by this Costco. So, you know, govern on behalf of all the residents, the students, the schools, the small businesses, and so forth that are affected by this. I know that Bill Gott, who is one of the chairs for the governing body for the West Valley Professional Center, which is directly adjacent to the Costco site, couldn't be here today, but his position is also similar to ours. They have a number of small medical offices, and, you know, I'll use the same joke I did last time. When you're in a dentist chair, you're already not having a good time. You don't want to have, you know, little beep, 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 beep of the little forklifts in your ears on top of that. And those things, you know, happen pretty much all the time for Costco operations. We really would like to have this be a true urban village vision, right? The Urban Village and the Envision 2040 plans talk about pedestrian, transit, bicycle-friendly projects. Costco is anathema to that. It really is, right? You don't have people walk up to a Costco and, you know, tote their 24-pack of toilet paper home. It just doesn't happen, okay? So this is not the kind of business that seems aligned or comporting with an urban village vision, at least the way that the city of San Jose has it on their site and describing it. If the Costco is built, you've heard this before, close off Graves and require all the Costco truck and their driver traffic, because they're going to have a home delivery service, to use Prospect Road and Lawrence Expressway. Full stop. That's what we're asking. And fund the necessary road and safety mitigations out of Costco. And last, put up a wall that isolates the site from the neighborhood, just as San Jose did for the Almond and Costco. No more, no less. So there's an 8-foot sound wall by the Almond and Costco. That seems to be working just fine. And then last, just to reiterate, project information needs to flow in a free and timely manner. I don't know what that means. I mean, the only way that I do this is by constantly sending email every week to the project manager saying, is there anything new? Is there anything new? That doesn't seem an efficient way to do it. I'd love to have a service where I can subscribe to it. I mean, currently there's one on the planning website which says, you know, inform me when there's a change of status in any one of the EIR processes and so forth, and it proactively sends me mail. And, you know, I find out it's like there's a gas station going up on this corner. Well, that's wonderful. I'd love to do it for Costco. That's all I got. It's a lot, but that's what I got.
All right. I think